Should I go grab it? There we go. Perfect. Thank you. Let's see. So we'll go ahead and get started. I want to thank everyone for coming out tonight to the first neighborhood meeting for this project at the southwest corner of Moore Road and La Cunada Drive, this rezoning. My name is Kyle Packer. I'm a senior planner here with the town of Oro Valley, and I will be tonight's staff presenter and facilitator. So my role as a facilitator is to make sure that we have a fair meeting and that everyone's voice gets heard. So I'm going to need your help to do that. Obviously, as you came in, you grabbed a few pieces of paper. One of those has some ground rules on it. Those are also on the slide here. Really, the key takeaway is to be respectful, and we ask that you hold your questions and comments until the end of the presentations tonight. Now, please note that we're scheduled to go no later than 7:30 p.m. However, if there are questions after that, staff and the applicant will be available to answer any remaining questions that you have. Just some final housekeeping notes. Be sure to silence your cell phones. And if you're looking for restrooms or some water during the meeting here, both are available out the double doors to the right-hand side. And let me just double-check. Looks like we have a few folks on Zoom. So for those of you that are participating via Zoom, just a heads up that you will be muted until the question and answer portion of our meeting this evening. However, if you need any technical assistance, please contact Michael Spaeth, our principal planner, at 229-4812. Now, before we get into tonight's project in particular, I want to let everyone know that the town has begun seeking public input on Oro Valley's path forward. Now, that is our upcoming general plan. Please visit ovpathforward.com for more information on how to get involved with this document, which will guide the town's decisions for the future and produces real, direct results in our community. Tonight, I'll be providing some background information about the property, as well as the town processes that affect this rezoning process. Then the applicant will walk us through the specifics of the project being proposed. It's important to note that this request is to develop private property and is not the town's proposal. All property owners have the right to request review of their development proposals, and it is their charge to create, justify, and seek town council review and consideration. Furthermore, the town is required by state law to process these requests. Now, this service is required, and we require all applicants to hold these neighborhood meetings at the beginning of the process, prior to town council and planning and zoning commission consideration, so that you guys can provide your input at the front of the process where it's most likely to affect the outcome of the proposal. So that brings us into the next step of this evening is after staff and applicant presentations, it will be your turn to provide questions, comments, input on the project, basically anything you want to provide a comment on. So again, that is really the goal of this evening is to hear back from y'all. And then finally, after that, we will conclude with some next steps on what this project is going to be doing moving forward. And we'll close by requesting that you guys fill out a survey. There should be a barcode on the staff sheet that you have there. You can also find it on this poster over here. And there'll be a slide on the presentation as well. We really would love it if you could take that survey and tell us how we did tonight. We want to make sure that you leave here understanding the project, the town processes involved, and make sure that you felt that you had the best opportunity to share your feedback and that it was heard and recognized. Now, when we look at the process that we have moving forward, we started with an informational video a few weeks ago, actually, on ovprojects.com, so hopefully you had a chance to review that. Tonight is the first neighborhood meeting. After tonight, the applicant will be submitting a formal submittal for review, and staff will be reviewing that project for code compliance. Now, once we've finished our review, we'll be holding a second neighborhood meeting where you can provide more input, see the revised project after that process, and we'll then move on to Planning and Zoning Commission and Town Council public hearings. Those dates for those meetings have yet to be determined as we've still got to receive the project, review it, and more. But if you sign in via the sign-in sheets here, you will be notified of that project. Actually, by a show of hands, who here received a postcard tonight for the project? Good. Looks like a good number. But again, for those of you who didn't, either be sure to sign in up front here and you'll be notified of the neighborhood meetings moving forward. Or for those of you that are on Zoom, please reach out to me at kpacker@orovalleyaz.gov with your mailing address, and I'll be happy to get you added to that list as well. Now, I'm going to move into the project. This subject property is approximately 35 acres on the southwest corner of Moore Road and La Cañada Drive, and it's bounded to the north, east, and south by three Oro Valley subdivisions, and it's bounded to the west by Pima County. Now, the applicant has two requests. The first is to rezone from R1-144, large lot residential, to R1-36 to enable a site plan including 34 lots with single-story homes accessed via La Cañada Drive. The second request is to reduce the open space requirement while still preserving open space, providing a recreation area and a trail system. Now, for those of you that have been following along with this project for a little bit longer, you may be aware that this property was annexed into the town limits in July of this year. And per state law, the zoning was converted from the previous Pima County zoning to the closest equivalent town zoning, R1-144. The applicant now seeks to change this zoning to R1-36, and they'll provide more information on their request in their presentation. Finally, I'll go over what review the town is going to be doing between this neighborhood meeting and the next one. Rezoning applications are reviewed for conformance with the Your Voice, Our Future General Plan and the Oro Valley Zoning Code. In this case, there's going to be a specific focus on compatibility with the surrounding properties, open space preservation and trail connectivity, as well as protection of view sheds and view corridors. I'll now turn it over to Mr. Olin for his presentation.
Good evening. My name is Paul Oland. I'm here representing the property owner and Insight Homes. So Insight has been, I know some of you know this because I think you live in Insight Homes, but Insight has been a custom home builder in the Tucson area for over 40 years, and they've been building custom homes in Oro Valley for over 35. There's a list of subdivisions here, some of which are in Oro Valley that you'll probably recognize. Or live in. When we first started looking at this project, we were in Pima County and we had a choice about whether to pursue zoning within Pima County or pursue zoning within Oro Valley. Pima County, the existing zoning there was equivalent to what our zoning is now. It was suburban ranch, as Mr. Packer said, versus the R1-144, which it is now. Same minimum lot size. The Pima County zoning would have allowed a two-story home or taller. I think it was even 30 some odd feet tall was the height. We obviously don't need that. Insight builds one story homes. So that wasn't important to us. But being in Oro Valley, having that contiguity of design standards, we felt was more important, as well as just the branding of Oro Valley, or being in Oro Valley is a good thing. So that's what, we're pursuing here. Just in terms of developing a formal subdivision. So, when we were annexing the property, which just happened within the last 30 or 45 days, during that process, we had explained Insight's intentions to develop a low density, high dollar, Southwest contemporary custom home subdivision by pursuing this rezoning once we were annexed. So. This was the plan that we had expressed during the annexation process, and so now we're to that point. So this is a little bit closer view of the plan that Mr. Packer had up on the screen just a minute ago. Basically, we have a single gated access off of La Cañada right there at that median break where currently White Diamond Lane goes off to the east. Before we started laying out the site plan, One of the things that Oro Valley requires is to map any areas that are not currently mapped within the town's environmentally sensitive lands ordinance. And so this property, because it was outside the town, wasn't included in the existing mapping. So more specifically, the wash running through the middle didn't have a delineation of riparian habitat yet. So obviously, you know, there's a delineation down here, and then there's a delineation up here, but there was a gap in it. So as part of this rezoning, we're proposing a riparian delineation that's associated with the most important habitat parts. And that's that. You know, I'm not qualified to make that determination. So the town actually has a list of qualified biologists, and we used Recon Environmental through Wilder Landscapes to have their biologists go out there, analyze the vegetation and habitat values across the site, and then they come up with this delineation. That the town's environmentally sensitive lands ordinance actually has very specific criteria in terms of vegetative density and different habitat qualities that they look for. So the dark green area that you see on this map running up through the middle of the site is their delineation. So we will live with it, and that's what's informed this first iteration of our site plan. The lots on here will all be a minimum of a half acre. We've got actually acre lots along the western edge. We know that to the south, of course, we've got R120. That's the zoning over here, which is a slightly smaller lot size, and then R136 zoning here, which is more like two-thirds, three-quarters of an acre. So, and then over here, we've got, of course, Pima County's SR with the 3.3-acre minimum. Some of those are bigger, the one in the middle, for example, but the minimum is 3.3. So what we're proposing is R136 across the entire site. So basically taking this zone here, which is kind of in the middle, and applying it throughout, but with the extra buffering of providing one-acre lots along this entire edge to try to transition those lot sizes down from east to west as we go over towards those 3.3 acre lots. Perimeter setbacks will all be 40 feet, although a lot of these lots are big enough that the setbacks will kind of naturally be more than that because the pads, the house pads will be tucked in a little bit closer to the street. And actually, if you look to the south here, I know there's a bunch of labels covering it, but you can see the lots within La Cañada Ridge where, for example, this lot right here, you know, that's a good size lot, but the home is right up on the front. So it leaves a lot of that back area alone. So there's a lot of that very similar design in ours. Again, single story, as I mentioned before, just like La Cañada Ridge, that's what Insight prefers to build. And that's what's really most appropriate for this price point in this market. There is an informal trail at this point that runs up along the wash. You can kind of see it on the aerial photo there. So what we'll do as we get a little further into this is actually figure out a good alignment for that pushes it closer to the wash, working around existing vegetation. And then we'll, as part of the platting process, grant a public non-motorized trail easement so that can be added to the town's trails master plan and connect up with existing easements to the north and south. So that's a standard rezoning level requirement, but I'll mention it because we do actually have a mapped trail alignment on our site. Some sites don't. So there's also going to be a small private trailhead right in the middle there for the residents. You can see that called out. Nothing fancy, but just sort of a launching point for residents to get onto the trail. We've toyed around with maybe a small picnic area or a ramada or something like that, but it'll be low key. And then the last thing I'll just mention is that the Oro Valley General Plan currently calls out on the west part of this site for 1.2 homes per acre, and then on the east part of the site it calls out for up to 2 homes per acre. So if you do the math there, The Oro Valley General Plan suggests that up to 59 homes would be appropriate on this site. That's not what we want to do. We want to build 34 on 35 acres. So it's actually just under one home per acre, or in other words, just slightly over 1 acre per home when you look at it in a gross sense, which is how the general plan measures density. We've got just some examples in case anybody here is not familiar with InSight. These are just some other homes that they've done throughout the area as a huge attention to finishes, to details, to spaces, both indoor and out. A lot of different materials. Lighting is very important to be functional, but not abrasive, and certainly not expanding out beyond the space that it needs to light when it's on the outside. There's just a few more here. All of these will be $1 million plus. So that's the price point, but there won't be any in here that'll be less than that. And that's all I have, and I'm happy to answer any questions or offer clarifications. Or I think I need to kick it back to Mr. Packer now. Sorry, that's protocol.
All good. All righty. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Olin. We're now obviously reaching the time of the night where it's up to you to, we're going to open it up for questions and comments. Alex Chavez, our planner, will be taking notes, summarizing your comments into a meeting summary that we'll post on obprojects.com and taken into account as we form our recommendation moving forward. Now, since we're going to be doing Zoom and in person, we're going to obviously take questions here in the room first, and then we'll kind of swap over to Zoom as folks have questions there and go back and forth. You'll need to wait for a microphone. We are recording tonight's meeting, and for the folks online as well, they won't be able to hear your questions unless you're speaking into a microphone. So please be patient as we run around, chase you down with a microphone here. And then for the folks online, you will need to raise your hands and unmute yourselves on your end when it comes time for you to ask your questions. So for those of you on phone, you'll raise your virtual hand by pressing *9. For those of you on computers or tablets or something like that, you'll press the raise hand button shown on the screen here. It may be in that three dots more section depending on your device. And then again, once we have called upon you to speak via Zoom, or you'll need to unmute on your end or ensure that you're unmuted. So for those via a tablet or a computer, you'll see a microphone. Click on that until there's no red cross through it. And if you're online with us on a phone, you'll press *6 to unmute. Now, as Mr. Olin and I answer questions this evening, if we use any jargon, feel free to, you know, let us know that we're using jargon, and we'll be happy to clarify, rephrase it so that you help, get that understanding you need. And lastly, again, pretty small audience. I don't think this is going to be an issue, but please do remain respectful. Let myself or the applicant finish a response, and also don't interrupt any other folks asking questions or having providing comments tonight. But at this point, we're going to go ahead and open up the floor for your input. So we've got a gentleman over here. Grab a microphone for you. All right, and that even works. Perfect.
Thank you very much. I can hold it. Okay, well, you hold it. Okay. My name is Stan Osman. I live across the street on the north end of the property in that old existing neighborhood. It's about 13 years old right now. We sold our big home right down the street 2.5 years ago and downsized and moved up here. I think we mutually can work together to solve some problems that you might not know really exists up at that north end. If you look at the picture, Moore Road, up there where there's an area of just dirt, for years now, people are parking there, selling cars on the weekend. We recently had a dumpster that was overflowing for a month. It's become a meeting place for companies to meet in the morning with all their trucks. Long-haul trucks are parking there on the weekends. Refrigeration units are running. It's been a mess, that corner, and I know there's other people sitting here that can validate what I say.
Sure.
Okay? And we did get the trash taken away yesterday, finally. I don't know if the company took it away or the town took it away, but it got taken, and the porta potties as well.
Mm.
So that area up there, you know, I look around your beautiful development. I think it's great, and I think I love the fact that there's no ingress or egress on Moore Road. Moore Road has become a highway. The sound level from Moore Road, your homeowners on that north end are going to complain and complain and complain that they spent $1 million-plus on a home and feel like they're living in downtown Boston or New York.
Hmm.
It's that bad.
Hmm.
I have gone once a year ago to the traffic engineer and asked if they put out a machine to measure the sound levels. He told me that isn't necessary. I just know that they're not beyond the standards. I think they are. Being a retired nurse, I appreciate our senses that God gave us. And just like I read about 5 or 6 months ago when they were developing a plan for new lights on Rancho Vistoso Boulevard, they didn't want to put a certain kind of light in because of the glare to the eyes.
Hmm.
And they wrote that up. And I say to them tonight that we have to solve the noise problem on Moore Road. I've spoken to every homeowner along that section and up the corner along that riparian area, and everybody's in agreement with me that the traffic cuts through your home like a sharp knife till 9 or 10 o'clock at night.
Hmm.
So this is what I propose.
Is that you?
That jointly, somehow, that dirt section on Moore Road gets filled in with plants and becomes part of a natural habitat area like the rest of the border of the whole development has. And then the town can take down their do not, you know, no dumping signs, which are there. And then the other thing is the sound. As a nurse, I know you can't put in bumps everywhere because of ambulances. But I think they could slow down that little section. I think they could repave the road, which would make it a lot quieter, because when they repaved Moore Road, they did not repave that little section between the rotary and where the paving started. So I think there's a lot of mutual things that could be done here that will make your residents happy and make us happy.
Hmm.
Personally, I would like to see the speed limit go down to 20 or 25. If people from the town came out there at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, there's off-road vehicles, motorcycles, I think it's the Daytona 500. They don't have mufflers. It's waking up children that are sleeping and so on. So,
all right. Well,
I just wanted to get this whole thing in front of you to realize that it's really an issue. The sound is a big, big issue in the parking and that dirt area. Something should be done with it mutually with everybody at this time when you develop that beautiful piece of property. I appreciate what you're doing.
Who
owns that?
Thank you. Thank you very much. So that right now, that dirt strip, the dirt strip, as it's been annexed, it is now Town of Oro Valley property. So I do want to speak briefly to that. We're aware of the semi-truck and traffic issues in that area. And when we've spoken to police and the semi-trucks that have been witnessed in that area are not parked on the subject property, but within the public right-of-way. Now, the town does have a parking code that does not allow vehicles to be parked or unmoved for more than 48 hours. And concerns regarding the trucks should be addressed with the Oro Valley Police Department, and they'll look into the parked trucks for evaluation of a violation. So that is definitely something to do moving forward. And additionally, as we look into this project, we're going to be exploring off-site public improvements as an option or an opportunity to address some of these issues moving forward.
And I think I really appreciate you telling me that, because I've spent a fair amount of time on this property, but never at 9 or 10 at night. right? So I appreciate you letting us know. We'll digest that.
Pardon me. Here, I'll come over to you. I'll come over to you as well.
Okay. We hear motorcycles out there in the middle of the night and cars. I mean, it makes a lot of noise at 3-4 o'clock in the morning. That seems to be where they gather, and they're either running up and down La Cañada, or that's the place where they start. Hmm. But they make a hell of a lot of noise in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we don't want that either.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So we're definitely hearing traffic as a concern tonight. Are there any other comments on traffic as we, you know, get through a series of different ones? I want to make sure that we, you know, we're going to be well aware of the traffic issues on both La Cañada and Moore Road moving forward, as well as the parking and kind of, community gathering space apparently on that north, that dirt strip on Moore Road.
Just to add to the traffic situation on La Cañada is already bad because of the school and the other end, the roundabout, and with an entrance to this development there, I mean, people are going to get hit one of these days because people go down there at about 60 miles an hour. And I've tried to get that speed limit changed and haven't had any success. And I don't know if there's any opportunity in getting that speed limit changed down from 45 to something else, or putting some cops out there once in a while or something, because with additional traffic trying to get in and out, it's going to be difficult.
Okay, yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, this project will be required to provide a traffic study as well, so we'll get a little bit more information on any possible changes that might happen off-site. But again, looking forward for the rest of the evening, we're going to try to focus on the subject site itself. It's unlikely that they're going to do too much to the overall speeds or off-site public property that is the roads. Marty, I saw that you had a question earlier, so we'll come over to you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. My name is Sherry Butman, and I actually live in La Jolla Air Park. So I'm just a little square in the north corner, or kind of maybe the northwest corner, and I don't live right along Moore Road. Thank you. I live further in. But I actually have a question in regards to, and I know about Moore Road, and it is busy, but I have a question in regards to the little outline, which is obviously dotted here. Is there any fencing or other proposed physical structure? Because as, I'm so sorry,
Paul
pointed out, there is this drainage that does come through, and it actually dips down. Mm-hmm. The physical area, I think, that is outlined is actually below the surface of the road in some portions, because that's how the drainage comes through. So I'm just wondering, is there any plan to, beyond ugly words of wall off, area? Is there anything that's going to be erected along that Moore Road side to kind of encapsulate this new development?
No. So what our plan is it, actually, if you look at the La Cañada Ridge subdivision to the south on here, which is, or even the custom homes over to the west there, basically with this development format, you know, it's probably like your house too. I imagine you've got your house, small front yard area, an enclosed backyard of some sort with some amenities in it, and then desert outside of that. And we're going to continue that vision here. I think that a wall or fence along the property line would actually sort of detract from that, because it would seem to kind of, you know, fence off the desert, and that doesn't fit with our vision here. So I want a wall or I don't want a wall comment?
That was your question, because you could use a wall to be a sand wall. So
sure.
I think further to the west along Moore, there are some homes on both sides that have actually walled off their property, potentially for some privacy and maybe for some sound abatement.
Hmm.
So I was just curious.
Yeah, I would imagine that, we're certainly, I wasn't aware of the noise issue. So again, I appreciate bringing that up. We're going to look at that. I know that, especially when you get into this, this level of home, there's a lot of options for sound mitigation inside the home, to, you know, additional insulation and construction techniques and different windows that are really good. And I would imagine that if warranted, some of those elements might be worked into the construction of those northern homes. But yeah, we'll dig into it.
And that also continues on the west side. Sorry, last question. Also on the west side. So you're not really, again, going to potentially put a wall around each of the homes that are bordering that 3.3-acre Pima property line.
Yeah, no, it would be, you know, this is a very fat pen here, but, you know, if there's a home right here, mm-hmm. right, and, you know, maybe there's a wall around the backyard, and then that would be it.
Very good. But then the owner would own all of that
Correct.
Green space as well.
Yes.
Very good. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
So already, I saw a question over here. Did you still have a comment?
My name is John Crittenden. I live in the Insight Homes to the south. I have questions and comments. How the wash? How big is that now? The green area.
You're talking about how wide is it?
Yeah, just generally.
I think I've got a scale on this other one. So it varies, obviously, but you see this scale down here? So that bar is 200 feet wide. So I think in most cases, it's probably anywhere from 65 to 120, 125, something like
and
that.
And is there a state, county, city requirement on the width of that since it's a official waterway or whatever you call it here?
Yeah, so there's two different things going on from a regulatory standpoint, at least two different things, because the government is the government. The dark green is the mapped riparian area, which is more of a habitat mapping, vegetation and habitat. You've also got a floodplain that will need to be mapped running up through here, and the engineer will look at that. So both of those have different requirements. The dark green area from the Environmentally Sensitive Lands Ordinance in Oro Valley requires a maximum disturbance of 5% of that entire area. So our one road crossing there right in the middle, that's all we can do. And that's really the intent, right? You don't mess with that unless you need to cross it for transportation or utilities. But then we've also got the floodplain, which we're working on delineating and doesn't show up on here, but it's usually similar. And the floodplain then has different requirements. You can encroach into that. When you do, on the outside of the floodplain, there's an erosion hazard setback. And if you're within that or within the floodplain, you have to do erosion mitigation, which is very common. There's homes in La Cañada Ridge who have erosion mitigation around parts of their building pads where those edges jut into those areas. Short answer is that there's no minimum width. It's all determined by habitat and drainage conditions. But then wherever those lines actually are, there are restrictions on encroachment.
So no minimum width. You could collapse that waterway to a pipe?
So
no.
That wouldn't be possible. It's a mapped resource. This is part of a larger, this is part of the, you know, kind of general plan resources is gone out and mapped these resources through aerials typically. So they recognize where those critical resource areas are, mostly by, you know, vegetation density. And so there's not an opportunity really to collapse it. It's got to be protected as part of the, you know, kind of larger continuous resource.
I believe that there is a wall on the Insight Home, the Cañada Ridge. Isn't there a wall that runs along La Cañada?
Yes.
And so it wouldn't be inconsistent to have the wall run all the way up to Moore. Is that in the plan?
We're currently not looking at doing that.
Okay.
Do you think that wall provides a benefit?
You'd have to ask the people that live on the house sure. side. Well, okay. I don't, so.
Yeah.
But I do live. You kind of, you picked, when you were talking about this, how far away the houses were from the new development, you picked the house that is farthest away from the lot line in the lower left corner there.
You're talking about this one?
Yeah. And your tags cover up the three or four houses that run along the very southern border. Mm-hmm. And the houses are set back up against that border.
Yeah.
And so I'd like, in the consideration that you realize how close that lot line is to the houses on that southern end of your property, northern end of Kenyatta Ridge.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, that's fair. So, I picked that one because it wasn't covered with a label.
Right.
those I believe have a 30 or 40 foot rear setback, which looks like it was, looks like they, those three at least probably come right up to it. So we've got a 40 foot setback on the south. So, our homes would be at least that far, but you can see this site plan here, this house, for example, is further away and probably would end up there. These are schematic building pads right now, just to show.
I just wanted to put my two cents in on the
okay, sure.
setback there.
And
another question.
Yeah.
I don't see any common area except maybe that trailhead. So no playground for the kids, no dog park, no. Am I seeing that correctly?
Yeah.
Okay, which is good.
Yeah, there's going to be a large tallow plant along the entire southern edge, but
I'm
just kidding. No, there's no such thing.
You got me.
What?
Did you have another question, sir?
Yeah.
Great, I'll come over to you. And then just for folks online, if you have questions, again, you can raise your virtual hand or your phone *9 hand, and we'll get we'll take some questions from y'all if you have any. Otherwise, I will keep going around the room here.
So where does that drainage go? I mean, it doesn't have any place to go once it gets to Moore Road, does it? I mean, are you counting on it just going into the ground, or does it have a drain off from there?
So right now, there's a mapped floodplain that comes down kind of like this. No, I thought are you talking about this major drainage that's coming down through
yeah,
here?
Yes.
Sure. So right now that wash originates way up in the Tortolitas, up north of Stone Canyon, and it winds its way around, goes around through Stone Canyon, then around the eastern edge of Vermilion, and then around the western edge of subdivision on the north side of Moore Road, which I can't remember the name of right now, but and then it comes down through here, and then it continues down through La Cañada Ridge. So basically the water that's coming down there during a storm event goes under Moore Road in these large culverts, and then we will accept the water. We have to by law. So whatever water enters into our property, we have to take it as it comes. And the rule on the other end, down here at the southern end where this project currently drains into La Cañada Ridge, is we're not allowed to increase it or change it. So whatever we do on site, we need to mitigate so that the water leaving is the same as what it is today.
Does it flow north?
No, sir. Flow south.
South.
Yeah.
Oh.
Tortolita Mountains up there.
Okay, and then one other question. How do you plan to handle that, your road crossing? Is that going to be a bridge, or will that be culverts, or?
Yeah, typically they're culverts, although we may design it to look like a cute little bridge, but it'll be culverts.
I mean, and
it'll be designed.
Maintain those that they don't fill up with sand.
Sure. So these will be private roads, so they'll be the responsibility of the HOA, not the town. So there'll be a drainage maintenance plan that has to be prepared by an engineer during the design process that the town has to approve that basically establishes a maintenance schedule, an inspection and maintenance schedule for anything like that. And then the hydrologists will design the culverts to be appropriately sized to convey a large storm event, like a 1% chance or 1 in 100 year storm event, which is how all of them are designed. So those huge culverts under Moore Road, same design criteria, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So no impact is the short answer.
Yeah, the flow won't be hindered anyway, I guess.
Correct.
Alrighty, are there any
yeah.
Are there any other questions at the moment? I see you, and I'll come back to you afterwards. Again, for folks online, let me just double check. I do not see any raised hands, so if you have a question, please feel free to ask or reach out to Mike Spaeth if you're having trouble raising your digital hand.
Yeah, my question is a follow-on over here to what the gentleman said. I live in the old model of La Cunada Ridge I bought, and when I bought that, they gave me a plot plan that showed I had a 30-foot buffer setback on the lot, and I thought, well, all that beautiful land, 30 feet of natural habitat. Well, after I couldn't find the stakes, surveyor stakes, I've got a new plot plan, got the third edition, shows that, oh, there is no buffer back there. My fence, the corner of my fence, sits on 1 foot approximately off the property line of the new development. And so my question is, how much buffer is there between these new lots and La Cunada Ridge? Because I would like to see a 30-foot buffer put back in there to ensure that the houses on La Cunada Ridge at least have some desert protection behind them.
Sure. So I don't know the particulars of your situation. I would guess that a 30 feet was perhaps a setback, a building setback that was depicted on that plot plan. I don't know because...
It was a grading. The grading limits showed 30 feet were shouldn't have been graded. Well, that 30 feet is what my backyard is.
Okay. I don't know. But we're going to have a 40-foot setback on there. So, and the homes that will be put on here, just like some of the ones, a number of them actually within La Cunada Ridge and around here, are really going to be focused on the views to Push Ridge, so kind of east-southeast. And that's important because I think a lot of them are going to have backyards that are facing either predominantly east or predominantly west toward the wash. We don't have the same condition where, like in La Cunada Ridge, you've got Placita de Greda, which is an east-west road, so the houses are necessarily kind of like that with the backyards facing north, right? We don't have that condition designed, and I know the site plan may morph a little bit, but we don't foresee that same condition, so I don't think that we would end up with backyards encroaching into that setback the way yours evidently did. So,
because my house, I'm in one of those two houses that sits there.
Yeah.
And there will be no buffer behind my house at all unless there is a buffer put in from this development, because my fence's corner is right on the lot line now.
Gotcha. So,
and that green that's around these brown spots, does that stay that way, or can people scrape that too?
So these are placeholders. What these represent is a depiction of where we anticipate the house pads being developed on each lot. It also represents an approximation of the maximum disturbance per lot. So that's the other thing. I actually failed to mention that. So all these lots will have a limit on how much of the lot can be graded. And so what we're proposing right now is about a third of an acre. So, and that lines up with the size of house pad that Insight wants to build. And it's very equivalent to La Cunada Ridge. So if you just figure how big those house pads are with home, backyard, front yard, driveway, and then whatever little grading is around there, the house pads will be about the same size on this one. So And then just like on La Cañada Ridge, somebody comes in and, you know, wants to buy this lot, for example, they would be given a plot plan like you were, that shows this lot here with the setbacks, and then determine, you know, how they want to orient the house, you know, what view do they want to focus on, where they want to do it. That one's already going to have a long driveway, so I would imagine the person would want to hug it up kind of to the west a little bit to minimize that expense. But we don't foresee the same condition with homes kind of doing this.
It's the next one there that concerns me, that's hugging pretty close to La Cañada Ridge, and that's where my fence line is.
Got it. Okay, well, we can take a close look at that one. Again, we're going to have a 40-foot building setback, and right now I think that building pad is shown at about 40 feet, which would include the backyard. So then you'd have some additional land outside the backyard.
And if that turns out to be that way, that's acceptable.
Yeah.
But I don't, if it gets pushed back and that gets graded out, they're in my backyard.
Got it.
Because I have nothing left.
Did you define setback?
Nope. Pardon me, let me come back over to you, and I'll be happy to take that one. A setback is the distance from a property line to a building. So that is going to be the definition of a setback, whether it's side, front, or rear setback.
Does building include wall?
Building does include wall.
Okay. Not backyard wall.
Yeah, not the backyard wall, to be clear.
So the backyard wall could be how far from the lot line?
So the backyard wall could be along the rear lot line. Now, that, again, based on the size of these homes, may not be the case, is most likely unlikely, but per town code, at the very least, that could be the case.
It sounds like that's pretty much what happened in this gentleman's case. Yeah.
It does include a driveway, though, doesn't it? I mean, in my situation, I've got a property line that's right next to the neighbor's driveway. I mean, it's even in the little gravel patch that he's got on his driveway. It comes into my property. So when you say that setback, the setback did not include the driveway.
Correct. You need to be able to build a driveway into the setback, or else you wouldn't be able to access your home from the road. So, you know, the driveway is allowed to enter a setback.
Yeah, okay.
Are there any other questions at the moment? Yes, I'll come over to you.
Thank you very much. So I wanted to ask a little bit more about the gated entrance and the open space. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned that there would be private roads. So the roads within the community are going to be private, which means I'm thinking vehicle and bicycle and other types of traffic will be stopped at the gate right along La Cañada, for instance. So that's the main egress and ingress to the whole property area.
Correct.
So my question is, because I live in La Cholla Air Park, we actually have private roads because all of our roads are taxiways,
right,
or potentially taxiways. So you had mentioned that you definitely will be able to have some amount of throughput for public access, perhaps along the Wash or the Riptivian area. So do you have plans to, I don't know if there's a good word, but like corral people from wandering around in the neighborhood as you provide this public access from the south?
Sure. So, you know, that's an issue that is dealt with throughout the Tucson area, right? Especially up in the foothills and a lot in Oro Valley, where, you know, there's a strong public trail program that is implemented enthusiastically by the jurisdictions. So typically, there may be signs that are posted along the trail that say, hey, this is a public trail easement, non-motorized, but everything around here is private property, so stay on the trail. I don't know. Maybe somebody from Oro Valley knows if Oro Valley has kind of a standard sign like that. But we'll certainly address the issue. We don't want people wandering around, but if that's an issue here, then that's an issue throughout the Tucson region. So we'll follow suit. It will be a public trail easement, so Oro Valley will be have jurisdiction over the trail element within that easement, including maintenance. Yeah.
I have to go home to take some medication because I just got a valve put in my heart. Oof. So I got to leave in a minute or two. But I just wanted to say I'm very happy with your development. I think it's going to be beautiful when it ends up being done. I look forward to working with you mutually about the sound issue mm-hmm. on Moore Road, and I think there'll be a lot more people at the next meeting talking to you about it. And I hope that you don't use Moore Road as a staging area when you do start. Because that area has been used as a staging area, and for every reason possible, we're just tired of it, living sure. across the street from it. And I hope that we can come to some mutual agreements on these things. And I invite you to my home to listen to the noise.
Mm, sure. Understood, for sure.
Because you're going to have upset homeowners on that end.
Yeah, and I appreciate you letting me kind of bring that to our attention.
Thank you very much for all the information tonight.
Thank you.
Just one quick question on something that you said regarding the stormwater runoff, and that no more after the development, no more water can leave than before the development. I mean, with all the impermeable surface that you're adding, and I don't see a retention basin or anything, how do you do that?
Sure. So it'll actually be very similar to how La Cañada Ridge did it. At the end of the day, there will necessarily need to be small basins here and there. For example, on this plan, I could see, maybe a small one right there. They'll have to be spread around the development. It's all flowing to the south, right? And the runoff from the roads is obviously the more immediate thing. So it'll be handled the same way that it's handled everywhere else, and we have to follow.
Yeah. It's not a big deal. I was just curious when you said that, because I don't see anything there. And mm-hmm. you got the rooftops and you got all the roads. I mean, how do you get rid of that runoff without adding coming out of the development? But
yeah, just little basins here and there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
All right. I'm going to check online rather quickly. We'll see if we have any raised hands. It does not appear so. Are there any other questions in the room here?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how to ask this, but there's a concern about water usage, obviously, in our area. How is it determined when someone decides to do a development whether or not there's adequate water to support that? What does Oro Valley do about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Mr. Roland, would you like to take that?
I was kind of hoping somebody from engineering staff would take that, but I'll pretend to be an engineer. So Oro Valley Water Utility has an assured water supply through the Arizona Department of Water Resources. And so what that means is that they have secured water resources, both ground, CAP credits. I mean, it's way too complicated, but they have been designated as a provider. And so when a development comes in, we don't have to prove to the state that we have enough water because we're served by Oro Valley Water. And Oro Valley Water has already checked all those boxes in terms of their water resources and balance between usage and water savings and things like that. So I think Oro Valley Water has a ton of resources on their website. And a couple times a year, they do a long presentation here that kind of gives council an update on the town's, where they're at with their water resources. And all the graphs I've seen lately have shown improvements long term. I mean, groundwater, right? So everything is super long term. But that's the answer.
Oro Valley keeps taking water out of the ground on all these new houses, and the water table keeps dropping. I mean, isn't there some point at which they have to say, we can't build at the density we were?
It looks like, so the answer is, again, it is the Oro Valley Water Utility that provides that analysis of whether they can serve a project, and when they can no longer serve a project, they will reject the proposal, but that is not happening with this project at this time.
So this evening, there's actually been quite a bit of talk about traffic, some concerns about traffic, and so on and so forth. So 34 homes in this 36 acres, I believe it is, or 35 yeah. acres. So do you just automatically assume like two cars per home? So there's potentially, we'll just double it for amount of traffic coming in and out. And then one of my concerns, again, White Diamond, you can't really turn left right now if you were coming up from the south. You can't turn left because the development isn't there yet. So I'm just kind of curious because I know a traffic study was conducted for the roundabout. Mm-hmm. And I think actually the roundabout, quite frankly, I'm in love with it. I think it keeps the traffic flowing. And I think everybody's very polite and approaches at like 20 to 25 miles an hour and takes their turn and so on and so forth. And I know there's been some concern along La Cañada. So obviously at the entrance to this new development, there'll be some amount of visual openness so that the person pulling out will be able to look to the north, look to the south, and make an appropriate left or right turn as they enter that area. And I guess my question is, who does the traffic study? Is that actually in conjunction with the development? Is that the responsibility of Oral Valley?
So as part of the rezoning process, we actually have to hire a traffic consultant, a local traffic engineer, and then, you know, they are professional engineers and they're responsible for doing everything on the up and up. They have to, then we submit that report to the town. The town reviews it according to all their requirements, and including like site visibility and flow. And they'll look at all the intersections near here as well as the one that we're directly connecting to, just to make sure that the geometry all works. In this case, we're lining up with an existing median break. So it was when La Cañada was built, it was envisioned that that would be a good place for a four-way. You know, left turns and U-turns are always the most delayed movements. So priority is given to the through traffic. But those traffic reports get into all that detail. And basically what the traffic engineer shows is they go out there, they take traffic counts, they look at all the system, they say, okay, well, here's the existing state of things, right? And there's a level of service grade from A to F or E, I don't remember. You don't want that grade. And then they plug in our development, and they say, all right, well, here we're going to plug in this number of homes with this number of trips per day, and we're going to assume that it gets built by whenever, you know, 2025 or something. And then they plug that into the model and they see how those grades get affected. You know, does the A go to a B, or does the B go to a C, or are we talking about so little traffic that all these grades stay the same, you know, in terms of the level of service that the public currently enjoys or doesn't enjoy. But no development is allowed to drop the level of service to an unacceptable level, which I think is a D. Is that right?
Right. Good job, Paul.
Thanks.
My name is David. I work for the town of Oro Valley. I'm an engineer. And so Paul is correct. The traffic study is done by them, and then the town checks that. So we get that report, we review it, analyze it, and just verify that we're comfortable with the results and any required mitigation. Your initial comment about how do we know how many cars per home, I hear that quite often, actually. People say, well, you know, you have a two-car garage, so you have two cars. You know, that's not always the case. I mean, you have a two-car garage, maybe a two-car driveway. Does that mean four cars? So really, it's a little bit more complicated than that when we look at traffic. We have statistical data that tells us on average how many, you know, trips does a home generate per day or per hour. So just to throw out an average, a typical home probably generates about 10 trips per day. So when you think about that, just look at your neighborhoods, right? You live in a neighborhood, this is going to be a neighborhood, it's pretty similar because it's the same type of product. So when we say 10 trips per day, what does that mean? That means when you leave in the morning to go to work, that's one trip. When you go from work back to your home, that's one trip. So when you kind of look at those averages for a typical home, you're looking at about 10 trips per day. So if we've got roughly 34 homes, that's going to be between 350 to 400 trips per day for the entire subdivision of cars coming and going. And then there's another level we look at, which is what we call the peak hour. So that's typically the rush hour in the morning. We try to look at the worst case scenarios. So peak hour in the morning, peak hour in the afternoon, that's really when the traffic is at its worst. So that's when we're really looking at the impact a project has on adjacent streets. So a project like this is probably going to be pushing about 20 cars out of the subdivision in the morning. So when you start to really break that number down, you think about 20 cars in the morning leaving, some of which are turning left and some of which are turning right, you really start to understand that that impact is really not that great. I mean, that's one car every 3 minutes, roughly, right? So, you know, in general, that's not a huge impact, this type of project of this size and scale. So, but did you have any additional questions?
Alrighty, any other questions at the moment?
So I just wanted to ask one other question in regards to lot size and house size. So these are going to be potentially multi-million-dollar homes, perhaps a million plus. Is there and they're going to be single story.
Correct.
So is there a recommended or a potential square footage that's planned for each one of these homes? Because like you mentioned, a couple of the driveways are rather long to get there. Is the developer aiming at a certain size home on the lot, like square footage?
Here, Mike.
Mike.
Yeah.
I'm Mike Jones, by the way, and I'm the developer and the home builder. We're probably looking at an average home size of 3,000 square feet, maybe up to 3,500. And down to 2,600, 2,700, but that's what we're finding, you know, for our market and people that want to live in this type of home and neighborhood, that's roughly it. So it's not real big, but single story, that's important.
All right. Thank you very much. We do have a few folks online, so I'm going to ask that at this time, Dwayne Sherrill is unmuted, and if you can make sure you're unmuted on your end. And again, pardon me if I'm mispronouncing your name. Is this Dwayne? Are you there? I see that they are muted. If you can unmute yourself or make sure that we're...
Okay.
Oh, there you go. Now we can hear you.
You can hear me now? Okay, so I'm a resident in the La Conada Ridge, and one of the things that our backyard is what you call in the habitat area, and one of the things we love and enjoy is that we get a lot of wild animals. We get deer and coyotes and bobcats, and when you talk about you're going to cross the habitat with the road up there. You talk about the waterway and the water being able to make it through. Are the wild animals going to be able to make it through?
Some of them, depending on the size. What's the biggest animals that you typically see?
Deer. Big bucks.
The deer would probably have to go up and around, up and over the road.
Yeah, I mean that's a shame. It is a shame because I mean we really truly enjoy and we see a lot of them almost daily deer in our backyard. So that kind of depresses me.
Now I will say that as this is a rezoning, that could be a proposed condition. Would the applicant be acceptable or amenable to seeking some kind of wildlife crossing that assures deer could be?
No, yeah. That would create a huge, you know, bump in the road. I mean, it would be visually strange, I think, to have a culvert that tall in the road. I think it would be more disruptive, honestly.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's what I was afraid of, but thanks for answering that.
All righty. Thank you very much, Dwayne. At this time, I'll ask that the area code, the 651 area code, be unmuted and allowed to speak. It looks like you're muted on your end. You may need to press, I believe it's star 6. All righty. It looks like you should be able to speak to us now.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. So my name is Bob Brulo. I live in Vistosa Highlands directly across from the proposed development. And I know it's been mentioned several times about the amount of road noise and traffic on Moore Road. We've been in Vistosa Highlands now for 9 years, and I can tell you it's both La Cañada and Moore Road. The amount of road noise and the amount of traffic that has increased since we moved in with all the development, especially to the north of us. And I like the development. And again, biggest issue I have right now is just getting out from White Diamond Lane onto La Cañada to make a left turn. Thank goodness the roundabout is a strange one. We lived in England. We've never seen a roundabout like the one we have, but it does tend to slow the traffic down coming onto La Cañada. But that would be my biggest issue right now is there any way to reduce speed limits on La Cañada and also make sure that it's easier for us to get out and make a left turn coming out of Vistosa Highlands onto La Cañada?
Alrighty. I am seeing the traffic engineer indicate that it's probably not very likely that the speed limit on either of those thoroughfares is going to change, especially as a result of this rezoning of this project. However, you know, as always, the town is going to be attentive and continue to monitor those situations and see if anything needs to change as a result.
Yeah. Okay. Like I say, it's just a concern, and I think I heard some of the other people also voicing their concerns with the amount of increased traffic. I agree that development probably isn't going to add that much to the traffic. It's just that it's already pretty high compared to several years ago.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your comment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're welcome.
You know, one other thing that I'll add, just kind of piggybacking on what Mr. Laws said about the traffic, is the roads are designed to accommodate a certain amount of traffic. And I don't know what the traffic numbers are on La Cañada yet. We'll find that out when we do our counts. But I'm quite sure that although there's more traffic on there now than there was a few years ago, I'm quite sure that there's still well below capacity during those peak hours. So it's all relative. But you know, the better the road is, the faster it allows the traffic that needs to get through there to get in and out. So again, I think there's plenty of capacity, but that will be verified in the traffic report.
Alrighty, give folks another few seconds here to raise their hands if they have a question online. Otherwise, I'll go back into the room for the time being. Any other questions in here? I am not seeing any. So again, if you have another question online, oh, pardon.
Thank you very much. So I wanted to just go back to the open space conversation that we've had a couple of times today. I had written in my notes a third of an acre could be graded. Is that can't be a third of an acre per lot? So that's overall in the entire area, a third of an acre could be graded
per lot.
It is per lot.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. And then my question, actually, it's a leading question for open space. So obviously you're using that drainage area, and which will then have a walkway or bicycle lane or something like that through that. It'll, is there other open space that might be considered in the area? Like, for instance, when some of those lanes kind of come to what looks like a circle and then branch off, is that going to be considered open space, or is really the open space concentrated down through the wash?
Sure. So a couple things. One, the path, the public trail easement that we'll be establishing, that won't be a paved lane or anything like that. It'll be dirt. So just like it is to the south and to the north. But then as far as the overall open space goes, you know, I mentioned that the tan boxes with little driveways are representative of the approximate disturbance that we're proposing per lot, even though they're schematically located. The green on all the lots is representative of the remaining undisturbed area. So there will be open space sort of throughout the development. And again, I mean, I've pointed to it before, but La Cañada Ridge is a pretty good example where you've got a varying amount, but fair amount of space, open space on each lot that is visually open space. It's open space from a drainage standpoint. It's open space from a wildlife standpoint because it's not fenced. It's not open space from an ownership standpoint. It's on lot, which the Ore Valley Code allows when lots are at least a half an acre.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, we've got another question over here.
Will this new development be private or gated? I mean, will it be a public road in there like our road is on?
It'll be private gated road.
It'll be gated.
Correct.
Okay.
For vehicles.
For vehicles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
So I mean, we're not going to put in there. We're not going to wall the whole thing and fence it. So, but the road will be gated to restrict access for cars.
All right.
Alrighty, I'm not seeing any other questions online. I'll do one last call in person here. Alrighty, well then I will go ahead and close the kind of question and answer portion of the evening. We'll start to move through some of the other slides here. The next one being obviously the next steps. Again, after tonight's meeting, the next step is for the applicant to provide a formal submittal that town staff are going to review for code compliance. After we've done that, we will be holding a second neighborhood meeting. So for those of you in the room, please be sure you've signed in on that sign-in sheet so you can be added to the mailing list for notifications. For those of you that are online, if you would like to be added, again, please email me at kpacker@orovalleyaz.gov, just like it says on the sheet there, and go ahead and give you just a little bit more information regarding this one. The best way to stay up to date is to visit ovprojects.com and check the development projects section. That'll give you a map, and you'll be able to find this project and several others in town, all of the ongoing developments. That's a great way to stay up to date on what's happening within our town. Now, finally, as we kind of wrap up the neighborhood meeting again, we'll be available if you do have any more questions. However, we would love it if you would scan the barcode up here, over there, on your pieces of paper, anything you can do to go ahead and take that survey. Let us know how we did tonight. We want to make sure that you understand the project, know the process moving forward for it, and let us know if you have any feedback on how we can better hear your comments or questions. So with that, I'd like to say thank you very much for joining us tonight, and take care. Hopefully stay dry for those that are driving home.